Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon. I can technically say that because it is just after the noon hour here. If you are listening from someplace that is in the same time zone I am, Eastern Standard Time, and welcome to another episode of Wonder Fruits, Your Health from the Ground Up. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Rebecca Montrone. I am a certified holistic health practitioner with a degree in holistic nutrition. I'm also a practicing herbalist. I work with clients individually with regard to a wide range of health concerns, from wellness to serious illness, and distance is no obstacle, as I have many clients across the country using Zoom or telephone. We also here, in addition, formulate botanical products for health, including our popular Wondrous Skincare line, and we make all of these products right here by hand in small batches on site. So on site is Wondrous Roots, located in Keene, New Hampshire. Our open shop business hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. Our phone number is 603-439-2603. And you can also reach out to me at wondrousroots.org. Just go to contact us and shoot me a message, and I'll get back to you. I'm the only one who sees those messages here at Wondrous Roots, and I will look forward to speaking with you. So anyway, while you can listen to this broadcast anytime after the program ends, we are live from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. You are welcome to call me with anything at all during that time. So yes, please go ahead and give me a call. The number here to call is 563-999-3478. And actually been pretty excited here because we formerly did this program on a local radio station and have switched to Blog Talk Radio, which has been, it's been an adventure that I'm really excited about. And some of the things that are going to be available that were not before are being able to access on Spotify or through Apple. That's all being set up and going to be really wonderful to reach a broader audience. And so just stay tuned. We'll tell you as those things become out there and more available, I will announce and put into my newsletters. And speaking about my newsletter, if you are listening to this and you do not subscribe to my newsletter, I put together an email announcement and with all kinds of information regarding what I'm talking about on that particular day and maybe some other things that you can take advantage of. And so you need to go to wondrousroots.org. And on the front, there is a place there to subscribe to my newsletter. And when you do that, every time I issue one, and I do that on Saturday, right before the program, sometime in the morning. Today it was pretty late. It was about 20 minutes of 12. So in any case, you will be aware that we're here. You can also, when you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can follow my program and sign up, and you will get a reminder in your email as well when a new program is coming on. So these are a few things that are different since we changed our platform, and I hope that you enjoy them. Today I'm going to be talking about, I'm kicking off a new series. I've had several, when I work with clients all the time, I'm talking so often, every single client, I am sure, about missing nutrients, things that we're not getting, and missing hormones that we can use very advantageously to support our health and to outsmart normal path to, I don't want to say aging, and the place we're in today with so much disease. So I say here, today I'll be introducing a brand new series addressing the perplexing questions surrounding our current epidemic of ill health and disease. In modern, technologically advanced societies such as ours in the United States of America, chronic disease is on the rise. Chronic diseases seen rarely in children are now routine. Technology apparently isn't the answer. Modern medicine appears not to be the answer either. Because if they were, wouldn't we expect the opposite to be the case? While television and magazine ads boast the latest, greatest drugs for this or for that, we are living here in the land of the free and the brave with adulterated foods, processed foods, toxic chemicals in land, water, and air, and a so-called healthcare system controlled by greed, backed by, and in many cases enforced by government, and further corrupted by the insurance industry. If this is the case, you might ask, is it even possible to enjoy truly vibrant health in our current times? The answer is absolutely. But you have to know how, and then knowing how, you have to put that knowledge to use, aka do it. I'm here to help you how. Know how. So to kick this off, now I don't really want to go first into all of the background on chronic disease being on the rise. Chronic disease is seen rarely in children, now being routine, because there are tons of statistics that bear that out. But I would rather just kind of state that, at least for this purpose here, and move on. We've talked about that. I've talked about that many times, you know, our the pesticides, the blah, 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 blah. But I'd rather just kind of move on and get into the good stuff, get into what do we do to outsmart this phenomenon, this world we're living in right now when it comes to our health. How do we do that? It is doable. And so I wanted to talk about things that we need to pay attention to, because if we don't, not living in the Garden of Eden, which we don't, we need to pay attention and we need to put some things in place. So today I'm going to start with nutrients. Complicating the toxic issues of our environment, modern medicine's failure to address root causes and root therapies, there are some vital key nutrients most of us are deficient in, and for various reasons, and among them, it doesn't mean all of them, and it doesn't mean all of them that I'll be talking about, but among them, sulfur. So if you've been listening to me for any time, I've talked about sulfur quite a bit. You might remember me talking about MSM, methylsulfonyl methane, and also sulforaphane, right? Hedbrud Hodgkins from Indoor Organic Gardens of Poughkeepsie, talking about their wonderful green powder product that is a source of sulforaphane. These are sulfur is a vital nutrient, and it is missing in our diet. It's something we have to put in there ourselves if we want to get reap the benefits of sulfur. There's a wonderful, her last name is Senef, and I'm trying to think of her first name. She's a famous doctor who has done a lot of work on sulfur and the dire consequences of sulfur deficiency to our health. So that's going to take up a good amount of time, so I'm going to hold off on that one. And then if you've been listening to me for any time at all, you will have heard me talk about iodine. And iodine is a nutrient that is pretty much, I mean, it is deficient in everyone, if not supplementing. And the ramifications are just off the map. Iodine deficiency from cancer to thyroid and all of the things that thyroid hormone effects in the human physiology. And so iodine, got to get that in there. We have to make sure. We have to know how to use it properly. I'm going to be talking about iodine. I just started reading Lynn Farrow's book, Iodine, What You Don't Know. I can't tell you exactly how the title goes, but how what you don't know about it can like wreck your health kind of thing. And I've known about this book and I've recommended it to others, but I'm actually just reading it cover to cover myself. I recommend that book. I also recommend the book I read years and years and years ago, 2007, by, I guess that's not years and years and years, but several years ago, by Dr. David Brownstein, Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It. So it's important to know what happens, why, and it's more important to know, it's so important to know, like what the deficiencies result in, the bad stuff. But it's really exciting to know the bad stuff that you can avoid if you take care of these things. And that's like so much power, right? I always say you have so much more power than you know you do. We have so much more power than we think we do. So knowledge is power. I always say that. These are my little bylines. Another one is magnesium. So magnesium, again, soils are very deficient. And so plants that, you know, like leafy greens that we should be getting magnesium in, we're not, because they're not getting the leafy greens aren't getting the magnesium from their nutrient source, which would be the soil. And so that's, and there are some very exciting things that can be done proactively when we use these nutrients therapeutically. So not just making sure we're not deficient in something, in a nutrient, but making sure that we're using those nutrients in the forms that will help us with maybe what our particular health concern or concerns might be. There's another one that I constantly tell my clients about when we're in private consultation. So when I have a client in, if you're new to listening to me, we have about an hour and a half. Lately, it seems like it's longer, 2 hours, sometimes a little over, because I love to teach and I love to explain things and I love to print out information and provide my clients with that information so they can go home with a folder and say, wow, 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 wow. And that's what I'm kind of what I'm trying to do here in this forum, is to just get that education out to more than just me and one client sitting in my office. So, but magnesium is a great example. There's a really awesome form of magnesium. Magnesium, different forms are great for different body tissues. But one that I'm really excited about is magnesium L-threonate because of its great benefit to the brain. It's an amazing nootropic, okay? So a nootropic would be a nutrient that is for the brain, N-O-O-T-R-O-P-I-C. That's going to be part of this series as well. Once I get through things like missing nutrients, missing hormones, we'll be getting into certain application of these things and super supplements to affect different areas of health. So we could do neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. You might put multiple sclerosis in there, although I don't. Yes, you would. And others. How do we use these things? How can we mix these things up to slap it silly? My slap it silly approach is always like, if we know a certain problem, whether it's cancer or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or, oh gosh, any number of things, we want to use something that does every known vulnerability as we know it. So if it's cancer, we want something that does one thing, then we want something that does another. We don't want five things that all do the same thing while the other vulnerabilities are left unaddressed. When I say vulnerabilities for cancer, that would be the cancer survival. What are the vulnerabilities? So if all you're going after is one aspect of what how cancer takes advantage. Then, and you're putting a lot of things in that basket, right? You're aiming everything there. Then you're missing a lot else that can be done. You're leaving yourself open. And so it's important to, that's my approach with things. And it's really, really wonderful. So I'd like to then go through some of these different health conditions and how we can mix up and use nutrients in a combined way to get a really awesome effect. And it's things that you're told in the mainstream, things many times there is no cure. We don't know. We hope in your lifetime there will be. Another area would be autoimmune illnesses. You know, we have so much illness today, and it's very disheartening, and it's kind of a wake-up call. We're not doing things right. So let's get these things in that are needed. It's not hard to do, and it's not super expensive, but you have to know how. And you got to take control, because you're not going to get it if you don't. So anyway, I thought today, because I'm kind of jumping in and doing this as an intro to this whole new series, I would start with a missing nutrient that most people would not think of, and that is lithium. So lithium is a trace mineral. And it's something whenever I mention it to my clients, I mean, and usually, almost invariably, I see a look of concern. They're thinking, oh, lithium. And we think of here from this article here, lithium is an essential element. For most people, the word lithium suggests images of mental unrest, imbalance, or overt mental illness. This is because societal perception of lithium for the last 100 years has almost exclusively been defined by its use in high doses. 150 to 360 milligrams of elemental lithium to treat bipolar disorder and various forms of mental illness. So right there, people are on guard. And if you've known people who have been on lithium for treatment of those conditions, you'll know that lithium done that way comes with side effects that are concerning. And so that can be like immediately you're kind of like, oh, wow. And am I doing something weird by doing that? But think about this. Would you think that if somebody said to me, you need zinc, you need to make sure you're getting enough zinc. I tell people that's a trace mineral. You need to make sure you're getting enough selenium. Very important for the immune system, works in the glutathione pathway. It's very anti-cancer. It's excellent for the thyroid. It's something we need. That's another nutrient I'll be talking about. But would you like have like be, oh no, you know, I don't, the stigma, right? Sometimes you think there's like a stigma with something. So something like lithium. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit here and kind of defuse the topic and let you know why you might benefit, how you might benefit, and how doing other things such as using B vitamins therapeutically, using your folate and your B12, and those are really critical nutrients to get and in the right forms, but lithium is actually the ferry boat that gets them out of idling in the bloodstream where they do you no good, into the tissues of the body where they do. So that's the main reason I actually use lithium with most clients and why I use it myself. But anyway, here we go. Learn more. And if you have my newsletter, when you have time, you can go and click on those buttons. Here it says, in high doses, lithium acts as a drug accompanied by potential serious and debilitating side effects. In low doses, lithium acts as a nutrient required for B12 and folate transport and uptake, neuromodulation, and the function of many biochemical processes in both humans and animals. Studies since the 1970s have shown the ability of lithium to stimulate the proliferation of stem cells. Recent studies have described its ability to wake up to upregulate neurotrophins such as brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. So here we go, neurotropics I was just talking about, and nerve growth factor, NGF, which are important for neuronal function. So your neurons functioning, plasticity, right? What do we want to say when I think plasticity? It's that the brain can improve itself, can get better. And we used to think that that was not the case. And repair, with its newly described antioxidant and anti-inflammatory activity, along with powerful neuroprotective effects, low-dose lithium therapy has largely unrealized potential to prevent or treat a wide range of neurological disorders such as traumatic brain injury, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, chronic pain, mercury toxicity, depression, anxiety, alcoholism, and drug addiction. Yeah, on that, I will tell you, they did a study in Texas. They took different municipalities and checked out the water supply for its lithium content, which comes from rock, and found that in municipalities where lithium was the lowest, they had the highest rates of depression, anxiety, suicide, homicide, and alcoholism. And so clear correlation that is reflected in science, but never talked about, right, in the regular medical appointment, doctor's appointment. So it says here, we've known for years that animals need small amounts of lithium for reproductive health and maintenance of general health and wellness. Gerhardt N. Schrauser of the University of California at San Diego writes, in studies conducted from the 1970s to the 1990s, rats and goats maintained on low lithium rations were shown to exhibit higher mortalities as well as reproductive and behavioral abnormalities. Lithium appears to play an especially important role during the early fetal development, as evidenced by the high lithium contents of the embryo during the early gestational period. Wow. Lithium is found in variable amounts in foods. Primary food sources are grains and vegetables. In some areas, the drinking water also provides significant amounts of the element. In humans, defined lithium deficiency diseases have not yet been characterized, but low lithium intakes from water supplies were associated with increased rates of suicides, homicides, and the arrest rates for drug use and other crimes. The biochemical mechanisms of action of lithium appear to be multifactorial, with effects on the functions of several enzymes, hormones, and vitamins, as well as with growth and transforming factors. So again, if you wish to speak with me, I'm going to repeat this because this is not the easy number that used to be on WKBK. The number here is 563-999-3478, and you are more than welcome to call in and speak with me. So now I'm going to go to this piece, and you can read this one too. This is Dr. Jonathan Wright. Think young into your 90s with this anti-aging secret for your brain. And again, he says, the biggest problem with lithium treatment is people's perception of it. Since it's most well known for its use for bipolar disorder, lithium sometimes encounters the same stigma as mental illness itself. He says, I've been taking a lithium supplement every day for several years. When I tell people about it, they sometimes get funny looks on their faces and start eyeing the corners of the room for straitjackets. These reactions don't surprise me since, as I said, lithium is usually associated with mental illness. But I've never suffered from a mental disorder. Treating manic depressive bipolar illness is lithium's most widely known use, but it isn't an antipsychotic drug as many people believe. In fact, lithium isn't a drug at all. It's actually a mineral, part of the same family of minerals that includes sodium and potassium. So he says, taking gray matters into your own hands. Hercule Poirot, Agatha Christie's famous fictional detective, had an amusing quirk in his incessant concern for his little gray cells. I thought of Hercule several years ago when I saw the following headline in an issue of The Lancet. So The Lancet is a very well-respected, internationally known medical journal, The Lancet, out of Great Britain. Lithium-induced increase in human brain gray matter. He says that might not sound like an earth-shattering piece of news, but it actually was quite a major discovery. To that point, medical experts believe that once our brains matured, it was all downhill from then on. That's what I meant when I said plasticity and repair, right? We used to think that. When my mother had Alzheimer's disease very young in her life, first symptoms noticed at age 49, and this was back in the, that was in 1979, and then going into the 80s when her disease was progressing, we assumed that the brain wasn't plastic. To this point, yeah, okay, decades of autopsies, x-rays, and more. And more recently, brain scans have repeatedly shown that brains shrink measurably with aging. But according to their report in The Lancet, Wayne State University, Detroit researchers found that lithium has the ability to both protect and renew brain cells. 8 of 10 individuals who took lithium showed an average 3% increase in brain gray matter in just 4 weeks. In just 4 weeks, look at the epidemic we have of Alzheimer's disease today, dementia. And it might not just be Alzheimer's dementia, but dementia with shrinking brains. And it's unbelievable. Back when my mother had Alzheimer's, for heaven's sakes, I mean, we had hardly heard of it. Now everybody know someone with Alzheimer's disease. Everybody knows someone with dementia, and there are reasons for that too. We have injected into our adult population annually, and especially as people get older, being warned about their flu shot and their Pneumovax, and you need two different kinds of that, and you got to have your shingles shot. Got to do this every year, and all of these contain metals. Toxic metals associated with dementia, associated with Alzheimer's disease, mercury and aluminum. And we just keep, roll up your sleeve and have some more. And then we wonder why people are so sick. But see, there is hope. There's hope in knowing to keep your sleeves rolled down. And then there's also hope in knowing what to do to nourish the brain so that it can return, in some cases, to good health. And then for others, prevent poor health and just make it stronger, right? Make your memory stronger. So you have that form of magnesium also, which they found a huge difference in just 6 weeks of supplementation. So just 4 weeks, a 3% increase in brain gray matter in 4 weeks. So just kind of multiply that by weeks moving out. Lithium may help to generate entirely new cells too. Another group of researchers recently reported that lithium also enhances nerve cell DNA replication. DNA replication is the first step in the formation of a new cell of any type. The Wayne State study used high-dose lithium, but I'm certainly not using that amount myself, nor do I recommend it. Prescription quantities of lithium just aren't necessary for everyday brain cell protection and regrowth. Studies done years ago have shown that very low amounts of lithium can also measurably influence brain function for the better. So I take 5 milligrams every evening. So also, if you're a person with insomnia, lithium is fantastic for sleep and easing depression, anxiety, and just very relaxing. It says, aside from boosting brain mass, recent research also shows that lithium can help protect your brain from the beating it gets in the course of everyday life. Your brain cells are constantly at risk of damage from exposure to toxins of all sorts, yes, even ones produced by your own body. Toxic molecules are formed naturally during the course of normal brain metabolism. Since these normal toxic molecules, sometimes called excitotoxins, are produced every day of your life, eventually they start to wear down or erode away brain mass. That would be what we'd think of as glutamate poisoning, actually. And that's what MSG is all about. If you're talking about getting those excitotoxins in from the outside, you would be talking like MSG. But MSG lookalikes, which the list is a mile long. It's like a page single-spaced long. But you got to read labels, right? That's why you got to stay away from processed foods, because most processed foods contain excitotoxins that we make them ourselves. So we have to protect ourselves from those as well. Another well-known cause of brain cell injury is overactivated NMDA and methyl D-aspartate receptors. Lithium can inhibit this overactivity, and lithium also increases production of a major brain protective protein called BCL2 in both human and animal brain cells. So it appears that lithium can protect against normal brain erosion and shrinkage that would otherwise occur over the course of our lives. But lithium also protects the brain from other less normal problems, quote unquote, too, like damage caused by prescription medications and strokes. When a clot or other obstruction occurs in a blood vessel serving the brain, it causes a reduction of blood flow to that area. If it's bad enough, the lack of blood flow will cause a stroke and death of brain cells. This type of stroke is known as ischemic stroke. Research in experimental animals with deliberately induced ischemic strokes, poor animals, has shown that lithium reduces the areas of cell death. Wow. Okay, in one of these studies, researchers blocked a brain artery in rats. Some were pre-treated with lithium for 16 days, the rest weren't. The researchers reported that the lithium-treated rats experienced 56% less cell death and significantly fewer neurologic deficits than the control rats. So interesting, too. And I think one of the things that we can kind of look towards is the fact that having these nutrients, you have these nutrients in the brain. And I was mentioning earlier when I was talking about magnesium L-threonate in the brain is fantastic for stroke recovery. But if you've been taking it prior to having a stroke, it's much more likely you won't have a stroke. And there's evidence there. I will mention that when I talk about magnesium. But here we have the same idea. So again, right, do this stuff before you're sick. These are the things you do before, and you thereby avoid. But exciting, too, that we can use this kind of thing in somebody who already has incurred damage, in somebody who already has a certain illness, disease, health condition, and improve. Okay. Let's see, talking about, based on its general neuroprotective effect, researchers have recently suggested the use of lithium as a neurotrophic, neuroprotective agent should be considered in the long-term treatment of mood disorders, irrespective of the primary treatment modality being used for the condition. Translation, lithium should be used along with any patent medicine being used for depression, anxiety, or any other mood-altering reason, since it will protect brain cells against their unwanted toxic effects, like the medications themselves. He said any list of mood-altering substances should include alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, uppers, downers, and for those who do inhale marijuana. Harmless as some of them might be, these substances can cause brain damage with medium to long-term abuse. So using those, along with your prescribed medications or these other things to protect the brain. And that's really good to know, too, because somebody might say, you know, can I use low-dose lithium orotate as if I'm on this medication? If I'm on that medication, yes, the answer is yes. And remember, this is a trace mineral. It's something that we should be getting, but we're not. And that's the focus of this series. These are things that really we shouldn't have to think about taking in a supplement form, but we do have to because of the nature of where we are in nature. And so that's really important. So it keeps the brain lines of communication open and healthy. Okay. Now, what about the interaction between those new protected healthy brain cells? Communication between brain cells and networks of brain cells is called signaling. And lithium is actually necessary for at least two signal-carrying pathways. Researchers have also reported that lithium may help to repair abnormally functioning signaling pathways in critical areas of the brain. And now, here we go. We keep talking about Alzheimer's. Very dear subject to my heart. As you know, there is no cure for Alzheimer's disease, they tell us, and there's very little available for patients and families out there that can offer even partial relief from the turmoil it causes. So when no new treatments are developed or discovered, it's usually big news, a ray of hope for people stuck in a seemingly hopeless situation. One of these newly developed patent medicines called memantine was recently approved in Europe, even though it's officially not approved in this country, yet people are importing it, blah, 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 blah. Actually, it works by protecting brain cells against damage caused by a major excitotoxin, glutamate. That's what I was telling you about, excitamate. And so think about MSG, right? But glutamate poisoning. But protecting against glutamate-induced nerve cell damage is also one of the well-known actions of lithium. So if it's true that this newly approved patent medication slows the progress of Alzheimer's disease in this way, then lithium should slow Alzheimer's disease progression too. Of course, lithium treatment, which isn't patentable, and doesn't have nearly the profit potential of patented Alzheimer's medications, hasn't made any headlines. But that doesn't mean it isn't a promising option for patients struggling with Alzheimer's disease. This is the important thing to know. There will not be a cure because, first, number one, the American Medical Association, the AMA, is by our government the only legal entity, I guess I would say, that can diagnose, treat, or cure a disease. See, we have the patent on that. We have that. Nobody else can, even though they can. They can't say they can. That's why we have to put disclaimers and everything about the FDA, not being FDA approved, or the FDA does not, this is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease, but we do it all the time. We just, you know, don't say we do. So any cure is going to have to come from the AMA. So whether it's a pharmaceutical medicine or whether it's a surgery or whether it's some sort of invented medical device, then that can be called a cure. But we can't say there's a cure. So remember when you're being, you know, you're being told that you need to do this walk for Alzheimer's disease or take the walk for breast cancer, when you're being virtue signaled about that, that the walking that you do is not because people are scientists are looking at the big picture and trying desperately, staying up late at night, trying to find a cure for breast cancer or trying to find a cure for Alzheimer's disease. This is about finding something in their toolkit that will make them money. And that's what you're funding. You are funding Big Pharma to find something that they can do while they're ignoring all of these other things that can be done. And you're not learning about them. And you'll just be told there is no cure. We hope there is one day. And you have to wonder a little bit about that as well. Because if you cured all of these people with chronic disease, and again, we're all going to die. We're all mortal and we're going to die no matter what we do and how healthfully we live throughout our lives. Eventually we will die. But if you could cure like cancer, if you could cure, so-called cure, Alzheimer's disease, and that there would be, I mean, the whole industry would fold, right? Because who's going to take these medicines? Who's going to need these treatments? And so beware when you're walking for a cause, when you're raising money for a cause, where does that money go? And in the form of, in the case of breast cancer, all of that stuff goes to providing mammograms for people who, for women who can't afford them or their insurance, or providing the screenings and the things like that. It's feeding the cancer industry. It's not walking for a cure. And so you need to know that. And Susan Komen knows that. And AstraZeneca knows that. So don't get sucked into that. Okay, so we have that. I'm just going to go to another one I have here called, it's another article, and you can continue to read Jonathan Wright's stuff, but this one is lithium promotes longevity, mood, and love. Like, so who doesn't want longevity, mood, and love? Okay, so talking about the same things that we were talking about. Yeah, lithium is a brain food with extraordinary properties, even in small amounts. And yeah. And then we get here. We have to, I'm actually looking at this, and I put up there my, let me just see if I can find this in my my files, because the piece I put up for you, it chops it off at the side, so you can't read the whole thing. Oh, great. So anyway, I'm going to go to the one that I can read. And sorry, you know, it's like, it, like everything falls off the cliff on the right hand of the margin, the right hand margin. Let's see. Yeah, reduces violent crime. Altogether, these results suggest that lithium at low dosage levels has a generally beneficial effect on human behavior, which may be associated with the functions of lithium as a nutritionally essential trace element. Yeah, and then he also talks about the Gerhard Schrauser review, in which he stated that the available experimental evidence now appears to be sufficient to accept lithium as essential. With a provisional RDA, okay, so recommended dietary allowance for a 70 kilogram, a 150-pound adult of 1 milligram, they suggested, 1 milligram a day. So that's the RDA. So that's recommended dietary allowance. That's not therapeutic. That's just to keep you from an absolute deficiency, like it would be for vitamin C to keep you from having scurvy, or vitamin D to keep you from having rickets. So that is so interesting. And yet that isn't done. And, you know, I don't see lithium in any of the trace mineral formulations that you can purchase. I don't see it in like the multivitamin that I use, the multivitamin mineral. I don't see lithium at a milligram there. So that could be a word for the supplement industry as well. It also says here, talking again about Alzheimer's, but that something that we haven't talked about yet is that lithium can lower the neurotoxicity of amyloid beta. Okay, so that's the amyloid beta plaque that comes from the tau protein involved with Alzheimer's. We talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago with regard to methylene blue. It's another thing that I was really knocked my socks off. And when I get into the using nutrients as nootropics, when I present a range of them, several of them, I again will include methylene blue, but dealing with these proteins that are so negative, but it says can lower the toxicity. So the amyloid beta, right, that's the sticky stuff that is behind the formation of the neurofibrillary plaques and tangles in the brain, and found in the brain in people with Alzheimer's. According to Dirk and Sandy Shaw of Life Extension, they wrote a huge tome many moons ago. It's like as thick as a big dictionary. It's unbelievable. And they're a biochemist. It's really, my father gifted me a book when it first came out. And again, decades ago. According to Dirk and Sandy, Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw, we're talking about prevention, where a very small change in toxicity over a long period of time can, like compound interest, plausibly produce some pretty big results years later. Also, researchers have found that lithium causes the release of neurotrophic factors that induce neurons to repair themselves and grow rather than die off when they're under stress, such as brain-derived neurotrophic factor BDNF, which is one of the most important for protecting neurons from damage and preventing them from dying. The same authors have thereafter reported that brain-derived neurotrophic factor plays a critical role in the pathophysiology of mood disorders and in the activity of therapeutic agents in patients with mood disorders. It's all connected. It's amazing when you think about how you can nourish your brain to affect positively your mood, your potential to develop problems in the brain, such as stroke, such as Parkinson's, such as Alzheimer's, such as MS. You can do these things and affect in so many ways. This is earth-shattering. This should be what we're seeing in the headlines, isn't it? You have control. This is what you need to do. Wow. I know for those of you who have been listening to me for a while, I've mentioned more than once that my fantasy would be, given no financial obstacles or whatever, to have a wonderful living space, community for the elderly population, if you will, with providing them with the best of food, right? None of the junk. None of the Madison Avenue processed food, heated, nuked to heat up, full of sugar, full of chemicals, full of, you know, aspartame and all of these things, which is one of those glutamate poisoning items. None of that stuff, only good food. And then we get in there these vital nutrients that are missing. And virtually everyone, we would make sure every day, and we would keep any prescription medications to only those that are absolutely necessary. And you know what? There'd be very few that were absolutely necessary, given actually giving, providing people, and then also with other things that really promote health, such as being surrounded by beauty, art, music, physical exercise, social interaction, games, right? It would be wonderful. It's something I hold in my mind, but it would be just like so great to see how this group of people fare in comparison to the facility that we know today that people enter when they are no longer living at home, for one reason or the other, and how they're being cared for, you know, especially an environment where if you have a loved one in a nursing home, even getting them, being able to take a vitamin pill can be a challenge, because that's all going to be approved by your AMA doctor, who thinks it's all patooey in many cases, just thinks it's not necessary. So anyway, found to enhance the gray matter, we saw that. Okay, so in the hippocampus, lithium was found to create new neurons. We didn't used to think that was happy, possible happy. I'm looking at hippocampus, which is where I got the H anyway. The hippocampus is the center of memory and organization of all your memories, and it's one of the few areas of the brain where it's possible for new neurons to actually grow. So this finding is very important. Another study has recently found that low-dose lithium may protect the microstructure of the hippocampus in ultra-high risk for psychosis patients, showing that low-dose lithium has a neuroprotective benefits. In another study, low-dose lithium was found to help mice with traumatic brain injury, enhancing spatial learning and memory performance, as demonstrated in the Morris water maze test. Now, this is kind of interesting. It's a little bit different. Can lithium contribute to the feelings of a new love? Okay, let's see what this is about. A recent study has found that people with bipolar, depressive, and other psychiatric disorders are far less likely to maintain positive romantic attachments, as demonstrated by subjects with these disorders testing high on anxiety and avoidance scale. From the above references, we know that low-dose lithium can improve mood and thus reduce anxiety. Also, another study, see, I'm in the mood for love, in the November 2012 issue, identified a clear relationship with new love and nerve growth factor levels. And and lithium increases NGF levels, nerve growth factors. Okay, I just lost my space. Oh, yeah. In a recent review, lithium acts through multiple pathways to inhibit glycogen synthase, kinase 3 beta. This enzyme phosphorylates and inhibits nuclear factors that turn on cell growth and protection programs, including the nuclear factor of activated T cells and the transcription factor, blah, 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 blah. In animals, lithium upregulates neurotrophins, including brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Okay, blah, blah, blah. There was also a significant positive correlation between levels of NGF and the intensity of romantic love as assessed with a passionate love scale. Also, according to that review, lithium also stimulates proliferation of stem cells, including bone marrow and neural stem cells in the subventricular zone, striatum and forebrain. The stimulation of endogenous neural stem cells may explain why lithium increases brain cell density and volume in patients with bipolar disorders. Lithium increases happiness, friendliness, and energy. Finally, we're going to wrap up with this. It's a really positive note, right? In a placebo-controlled study with former drug users, mostly heroin and methamphetamine, 24 subjects, 16 males and 8 females, average age 29.5, plus or give 6.5 years, were randomly divided into two groups, one receiving so much of lithium per day in yeast and another a placebo for 4 weeks. All subjects completed weekly self-administered mood test questionnaires. In the lithium group, the total positive mood test scores increased steadily during the 4 weeks of supplementation, and specifically in the subcategories reflecting happiness, friendliness, and energy. In the placebo group, the combined mood scores showed no consistent changes. The happiness scores actually declined. Lithium is a sure bet, this author says, to ensure your future, your mood, and perhaps even the love you enjoy. So here we go. This is just one example. It's my leading out, not because it's the most important, but it is important, isn't it? It sounds important to me. It's certainly part of the regimen, that basis, and include in the recommendations of many of my clients. And you can see why. Just really absolutely wonderful, very amazing. So next time, I will say that I'm going to be taking a break for 1 week, so I will not be doing a live broadcast next Saturday, but the following, which will be that would be May 6th. So the following is, come on calendar, May 13th. So on May 13th, I will be moving on with missing nutrients and how we can use them. Again, if you were to ask me today, well, Becky, how do I incorporate lithium into my routine, my daily routine? I would say you want to get lithium orotate. That's lithium. And the second word, O-R-O-T-A-T-E. Comes in different strengths. I think Jonathan Wright says he takes 20 milligrams a day. I take 5. And that's what I recommend to most. I find if I take any more than that, I feel too sleepy in the morning when I get up. So that seems to be a sweet spot for me, is 5 milligrams. So you want lithium orotate. You want to take it at night, not only because it's great for sleep, But another essential nutrient that we're going to be talking about that's missing in our diet is iodine. And iodine and lithium both use the same pathway for absorption. And so I recommend I take my iodine in the morning and I take my lithium at night. And that way they are not competing with one another. So if you do a little, oh, Becky talked about lithium. And then you go and you go, well, lithium can affect the be bad for the thyroid. Well, that's not true. It interferes with iodine absorption, which is critical for the thyroid health, but you just don't take them at the same time. So if you're going to embark on taking lithium orotate, go ahead. And it's not going to conflict with any of your medications. And you can do it for your brain. So lithium orotate, I would recommend 5 milligrams in the evening. So with that, I am going to wrap up this broadcast. I hope you've benefited from this information. Please feel free to reach out to me. Again, my number here at the office is 603-439-2603. You can also contact me on my website through my website, wondroustruths.org. Just go to contact us. Shoot me a message and I will get back to you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and we'll talk again soon. Take care.